Welcome to the Sleepy Podcast. Are you still with me? Hi, guys. I'm your host, Jane Lytell. As promised, we're going to dive right into Chapter 1, the introduction of NIST Special Publication, and I'll say it again because you need to remember it, 837. Now hang in there, guys. By the time I'm done with 837, you might welcome a new addition to your household. Then you can name your baby 837, just like SpaceX founder Elon Musk named his kid X-A12. Okay, go figure. Chapter 1, Introduction, The Need to Manage Security and Privacy Risk. Organizations depend on information systems to carry out their missions and business functions. The success of the missions and business functions depends on protecting the, and remember this, confidentiality, integrity, availability of information processed, stored, and transmitted by those systems, and the privacy of individuals. The threats to information systems include equipment failure, environmental disruptions, human or machine errors, and purposeful attacks that are often sophisticated, disciplined, well-organized, and well-funded. When successful, attacks on information systems can result in serious or catastrophic damage to organizational operations and assets, individuals, other organizations, and the nation. Therefore, it is imperative that organizations remain vigilant and that senior executives, leaders, and managers throughout the organization understand their responsibilities and are accountable for protecting organizational assets and for managing risk. In addition to the responsibility to protect organizational assets from the threats that exist in today's environment, organizations have a responsibility to consider and manage the risks to individuals when information systems process personally identifiable information, or PII. The information security and privacy programs implemented by organizations have complementary objectives with respect to managing the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of PII. While many privacy risks arise from unauthorized activities that lead to the, you got it, loss of confidentiality, integrity, or availability of PII, other privacy risks result from authorized activities involving the creation, collection, use, processing, storage, maintenance, dissemination, disclosure, or disposal of PII that enables an organization to meet its mission or business objectives. For example, organizations could fail to provide appropriate notice of PII processing, depriving an individual of knowledge of such processing, or an individual could be embarrassed or stigmatized by the authorized disclosure of PII. While managing privacy risk requires close coordination between information security and privacy programs due to the complementary nature of the program's objectives around the, one more time, confidentiality, integrity, and availability of PII, privacy risks also raise distinct concerns that require specialized expertise and approaches. Therefore, it is critical that organizations also establish and maintain robust privacy programs to ensure compliance with applicable privacy requirements and to manage the risk to individuals associated with the processing of PII. Closely related to and a part of security and privacy risks, supply chain risk. Think TikTok, very aggressive with the way it collects your information, is also of growing concern to organizations. Because of the increased reliance on third-party or external providers and commercial off-the-shelf products, systems, and services, attacks or disruptions in the supply chain which impact an organization's systems, are increasing. Such attacks can be difficult to trace or manage and can result in serious, severe, or catastrophic consequences for an organization's systems. Supply chain risk management, remember SCRM, overlaps and works in harmony with security and privacy risk management. This publication integrates security and privacy risk management practices associated with SCRM into the RMF to help promote a comprehensive approach to managing security and privacy risk. While the publication is principally focused on managing information security and privacy risk, SCRM concepts that support security and privacy risk management are specifically called out in several areas to add emphasis and to clarify how they can be addressed using the RMF. Background. NIST, in its partnership with the Department of Defense, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and the Committee on National Security Systems, developed a Risk Management Framework, or RMF, to improve information security, strengthen risk management processes, and encourage reciprocity among organizations. In July 2016, the Office of Management and Budget revised Circular A-130, remember I said to remember that one, to include responsibilities for privacy programs under the RMF. The RMF establishes risk management by promoting the development of security and privacy capabilities into information systems throughout the system development lifecycle, or again, SDLC, by maintaining situational awareness of the security and privacy posture of those systems on an ongoing basis through continuous monitoring processes, and by providing information to senior leaders and executives to facilitate decisions regarding the acceptance of risk to organizational operations and assets, individuals, other organizations, and the nation arising from the use and operation of their systems. The RMF 1 provides a repeatable process designed to promote the protection of information and information systems commensurate with risk. 2, emphasizes organization-wide preparation necessary to manage security and privacy risks. 3, facilitates the categorization of information and systems, the selection, implementation, assessment, and monitoring of controls, and the authorization of information systems and common controls. Before I get to the next bullet point, that's where the FIPS, or the Federal Information Processing Standards 199, is super important, the categorization part. And then we have that big whopper of a NIST publication, 853. You'll find out everything you've always wanted to know about controls in that one. 4, promotes the use of automation for near real-time risk management and ongoing system and control authorization through the implementation of continuous monitoring processes. 5, encourages the use of correct and timely metrics to provide senior leaders and managers with the necessary information to make cost-effective, risk-based decisions for information systems supporting their missions and business functions. 7, facilitates the integration of security and privacy requirements and controls into enterprise architecture, SDLC, acquisition processes, and systems engineering processes. 9, connects risk management processes at the organization and mission business process levels to risk management processes at the information system level through a senior accountable official for risk management and risk executive function. You'll need to remember the risk executive function. And 10, establishes responsibility and accountability for controls implemented within information systems and inherited by those systems. The RMF provides a dynamic and flexible approach to effectively manage security and privacy risks in diverse environments with complex and sophisticated threats, evolving missions and business functions, and changing system and organizational vulnerabilities. The framework is policy and technology neutral, which facilitates ongoing upgrades to IT resources and to IT modernization efforts to support and help ensure essential mission and services are provided during such transition periods. Now on to the purpose and applicability. If you ever write policy like I do, you'll never escape the purpose and applicability. Let's move on. This publication describes the RMF and provides guidelines for managing security and privacy risks and applying the risk management framework to information systems and organizations. 1. To ensure that managing system-related security and privacy risks is consistent with the mission and business objectives of the organization and risk management strategy established by the senior leadership through the risk executive function. 2. To achieve privacy protections for individuals and security protections for information and information systems through the implementation of appropriate risk response strategies. 3. To support consistent, informed, and ongoing authorization decisions, reciprocity, and the transparency and traceability of security and privacy information. 4. To facilitate the integration of security and privacy requirements and controls into the enterprise architecture, SDLC processes, acquisition processes, and systems engineering processes. And 5, to facilitate the implementation of the framework for improving critical infrastructure cybersecurity. That's the NIST CSF, and you'll hear about that again, within federal agencies. This publication is intended to help organizations manage security and privacy risk and to satisfy the requirements in the Federal Information Security Modernization Act of 2014. That's the big mother that covers everything. The Privacy Act of 1974, super important, OMB policies, and designated Federal Information Processing Standards, among other laws, regulations, and policies, yada, yada, yada. The scope of this publication pertains to federal information systems, which are discrete sets of information resources organized for the collection, processing, maintenance, use, sharing, dissemination, or disposition of information, whether such information is in digital or non-digital form. Information resources include information and related resources, such as personnel, equipment, funds, and information technology. The guidelines have been developed from a technical perspective to complement guidelines for national security systems and may be used for such systems with the approval of appropriate federal officials with policy authority over such systems. State, local, and tribal governments, as well as private sector organizations, are encouraged to use these guidelines as appropriate. Target audience. That's another one you won't escape in the policy world. This publication serves individuals associated with the design, development, implementation, assessment, operation, maintenance, and disposition of information systems, including 1, individuals with mission or business ownership responsibilities or fiduciary responsibilities, for example, heads of federal agencies. 2, individuals with information system, information security, or privacy management, oversight, or governance responsibilities. For example, senior leaders, risk executives, authorizing officials, chief information officers, senior agency information security officers, and senior agency officials for privacy. 3, individuals responsible for conducting security or privacy assessments and for monitoring information systems, for example, control assessors, auditors, and system owners. 4, individuals with security or privacy implementation and operational responsibilities, for example, system owners, common control providers, information owners, information stewards, mission or business owners, security or privacy architects, and system security or privacy engineers. 5, individuals with information system development and acquisition responsibilities, for example, program managers, procurement officials, component product and system developers, system integrators, and enterprise architects. And last, individuals with logistical or disposition-related responsibilities, for example, program managers, procurement officials, system integrators, and property managers. For a comprehensive list and description of roles and responsibilities associated with the RMF, see Appendix D. There's lots of those. Now, organization of this publication. The remainder of this publication is organized as follows. Chapter 2 describes the concepts associated with managing information system-related security and privacy risk. This includes an organization-wide view of risk management, the RMF steps and task structure, the relationship between information security and privacy programs, and how these programs are addressed in the RMF, information resources as system and system elements, authorization boundaries, security and privacy posture, and security and privacy considerations related to supply chain risk management. So I'd say that Chapter 2 is like the heart. It gives you the big overview, and then we get into more of the details in Chapter 3. Chapter 3 describes the tasks required to implement the steps in the RMF, including organizational level and information system level, preparation, categorization of information and information systems, control selection, tailoring, implementation, assessment of control effectiveness, information system and common control authorization, the ongoing monitoring of controls, and maintaining awareness of the security and privacy posture of information systems and the organization. Basically, there are 6 steps. But the first step, NIST calls step 0. So again, go figure. Supporting appendices. I told you there are a lot. They provide additional information and guidance for the application of the RMF. I'm going to list them. References. Glossary of terms. Acronyms. Roles and responsibilities. Summary of RMF tasks. System and common control authorizations. Authorization boundary considerations, and system lifecycle considerations. And that wraps up Chapter 1 of NIST Special Publication 837. Are you still with me, or did you nod off? That's okay. I'll be here. Good night, and see you later.